Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 491st edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And finally, we're brought to you by the SGPN merch store, 15% off everything when you use promo code PLAYOFFS.
Howdy ho, degenerates. Welcome to episode 491 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to Brian, apparently our biggest fan on YouTube, who has alerted any new viewers that I am a kind of grumpy, but I do a great job or something. There was a compliment in there as well, but yeah. Like I said last episode, my personal life is bleeding through to my professional life, apparently. So I'm not supposed to be grumpy in front of the camera, but here we are. I think I'm just old and tired is what is coming through the camera. But nonetheless, and we know you are watching the episode, because like I said last episode as well, these regional MMA ones are our big hits on YouTube. So thank you, whether you're watching or listening, for coming in for one of our weekly MMA, regional MMA episodes on Mondays. Today we're doing Octagon 52. Octagon is an event or a promotion we've been doing a lot recently. They seem to be moving on up in the world. So we'll bring in someone who knows a bit more about this subject to speak on it. He doesn't just pick these events to just see me try to pronounce these people's names. No, he says this is a very... good promotion and a good event. It's our regional MMA god, some might say, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I'll recap my past week.
Yeah,
in a second. But to your point on Octagon, too, they're becoming one of those promotions now that seem to be able to pay their biggest fighters enough to fend off the big promotions. Because they've got an absolute beast of a champion, and now I guess he's moving up a weight class to fight in that tip sport game changer for €1 million.
that's right tip sport game changer. I forgot tip about sport. That yes,
which I think last time we called the tip changer game sport, or you know, tip game sport changer or something like that. Yeah, like we had some issues with it.
It's really €1 million.
It's a million euro for if you win all of the fights.
So that's over $1 million of your dollars, of your greenbacks.
Right. I think it's like 1.15 or 1.2.
Yeah, almost that.
It's
yeah.
basically the PFL season, because right, it's if you win the finals, you wind up making $1 million on the season, which is pretty much what this one is. The finals itself is only worth 300K, but you know, 300K in an MMA fight is pretty damn good. And they just re-signed Lucene Kita, who is one of their best fighters. He's a dude out of Belgium. Who's 12-1, you know, super good, has been a champ of theirs in multiple divisions. And I have to imagine the UFC was interested in him. I have to imagine PFL was interested in him. He kind of struck me as the kind of guy who winds up in ONE FC fighting over there, just because he's like very explosive, and you know they really love that kind of, you know, they love either somebody who's like a sick grappler or a big explosive dude. And I found out he re-signed with Octagon, so they must now be paying enough, both in the tip sport game changer and otherwise, to keep these guys around. So you know, first of all, that's a tip in the tip of the hat to Octagon, and then to tip my hat to myself and how we did this past weekend. So we actually have three promotions that we had done breakdowns of this past weekend. The first one was Uriah Faber's A1 Combat 17. Went 3-2 in that one, including hitting an underdog. If you bet $100 blindly on all of those money lines, you would have been up like $50, which is not a bad little night. My second promotion was Unified 55, which card went to absolute shambles after we broke it down. There were actually only two of the five fights left. I think part of what happened was Dana White announced that it was a looking for a fight card. And then like out of the woodworks, like Ricky Bandejas suddenly was like interested in fighting on the card, like the big Bellator event. And one of Dreykus Duplessis's cornerman, who was not even in training camp, he was just like with Dreykus, was like, hey, I'll fight on that, and suddenly he was the co-main event. Like it just like suddenly took an influx of people, and a couple of fights did get canceled, so wound up with only two official picks on that card. Went 1-1 for basically the negative amount of what I'd picked up on Uriah Faber's A1, so we were pretty much a push on those two promotions at 4-3. And then KSW showed up, went 4-1 in KSW. Ooh. That includes two underdogs, one of which was $150, which is a nice little one. That came from fading the UFC vet in that fight. And then the other one was +300, which, get this, was fading the UFC vet, Bartosz Fabinski, who time and time again just keeps giving me great avenues to make money by fighting dumb. That guy got knocked out in 12 seconds as a like -375 favorite. So in that fight card, we went 4-1. And if you had bet $100 blindly on, every single fight, you would have walked out up $450 roughly. So on the weekend, we were 8-4. For the tune of about +450.
And how about on the year? Or the year just started?
Yeah. The year did just start. But
you have a career, though, right?
We had a good first weekend, too, because we did have some regional MMA events that we broke down from last weekend. So, or maybe the weekend before that, some LFA action, too. But on the year, we are already up 7.3 units. If you bet a unit on every money line. So we built ourselves a good defensive base here.
And I see my fellow Kitchener native got a nice knockout on Unified as well. Pat Pictolik got a
yes, that was the only fight I got wrong on Unified. Yeah, I went with Heininger, okay. And you had Pictolik.
Kitchener power.
Yeah, it's just those big long Kitchener guys.
Yep, exactly. All right. So yeah, so Gumby's good at this stuff. It's basically, that was our infomercial for Gumby heading into this episode. So we've got Octagon 52, and this is usually they are out of Czech Republic, right? Or are they Poland? They're Czech.
They do Czech Republic, Slovakia. They do quite a few shows out of Germany. Like they've got two scheduled later this year for Germany. And as you're about to tell the folks, they occasionally make their way to England.
Yes. And this one is in England. Yeah. They must, going back to what you're saying about pay, they have, they're like right in the same area as KSW. So they must be paying pretty good, because KSW's pretty much the king of Europe at this point.
And they've got a lot of guys who have fought in KSW too. So I think sort of their MO, because it doesn't seem like KSW's contracts are like as restrictive, particularly for like their early card guys. It does seem like they try to grab a guy when they go like 1-1 on KSW's undercard. And they're like, we know that guy's got a lot of potential and drag him on over.
Yeah. All right. Before we dive into things, I'm going to dive into Underdog Fantasy and let you know, Gumby and I make NBA picks every night on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com website, but they've got every sport here. And Underdog Fantasy has a way for you to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. Whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA, they got tennis, they got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite player's fantasy stats and cash in. And if you pick one of these spicy plays, you can win ton or times your money. Gumby, do you have a pick for us?
You know, I was trying to think of one because this is going to come out Monday, right? And obviously we want to make sure that
today is Monday. Both. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. This obviously it's coming out Monday. Today is Monday. So the Hawks are playing the Kings tonight. It looks like Trae Young is going to be out forever with a bad brain. That means Jawan Murray is probably going to score a billion points. And it's against the Kings too. They tend to have high scoring games. So take the higher than whatever his posted points total is, higher than on Murray's points.
All right. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over our Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, my voice. Okay, my voice is back. You almost had to take over the whole episode, Gumby. People at home
cheering. I've done it before. I think I did a solo episode once.
People are cheering. Please, please. No, I'm back. Octagon 52. Magard. I think we talked about him before, haven't we? Am I saying his name wrong?
Jonas Magard.
Yeah. He's got two umlauts. They're not umlauts. What are those things?
They're not umlauts.
Are they? They're circles. That's not what Motley Crue has above their name. Is it?
I don't know.
They have umlauts.
It's something that we don't have in this language.
Yeah, because Motley Crue's umlauts are filled in O's. These are not filled in. These are like donuts. Anyhow, he's fighting Cartwright, which is the name that the Chinese restaurant said for Costanza instead of Costanza.
We've broken him down a couple of times too.
Yep, we have this. Everything always goes back to Seinfeld, don't you find? They've covered pretty much everything that's ever happened in life.
Or the Simpsons.
An episode about it.
Or the Simpsons.
Yeah, Simpsons had a little longer to do it, but it is true. All right, this is going down, as Gumby said, in England, Newcastle. We know someone who lives in Newcastle.
We do.
Newcastle upon Tyne.
Yeah.
One and only Malcolm.
Yeah, Mal Bamford.
Our co-worker.
He's fantastic. Him on the MMA game or the MLB gambling podcast is maybe the best listen on the network, and I say that not lightly. Yeah.
Yeah. This time a year he's doing the Premier League podcast as well. And there's a music podcast I listen to, Running the Suburbs is called, and the guy's a big fan of Mal, and he's had Mal on multiple times as a guest.
That's crazy,
right? He had Mal and Barry on an episode to give out their, you know, favorite like indie rock type picks. So yeah, he is a celebrity, this Mal. So anyhow, he lives in Newcastle. I don't know if he's going to this event though, but he is a character. He should go. This is Fittingly, it's in an octagon, Gumby. Octagon with the C, even though they're octagon with the K. So there's, this is the big octagon. There's also an octagon with two octagons with the C organizations, two with K's. two with K's and one with C.
I don't know how many there are with C's, but I know this one and the one in what's like Kazakhstan is with a K as well.
Yeah. Anyhow, this one's taking place. This is the big one. Taking place Saturday night, 12, not night, if you're on the East Coast like us in North America. It's 12 p.m. Eastern Saturday, this Saturday, the 27th, where we're not doing regional MMA 2 weeks in advance, like during our dry period a few weeks ago. So this is a current one. It says it's broadcast on DAZN in the States. Is that correct, Gumby?
Yeah, you can also get it on Octagon's website. That tends to be the easiest place to find it for me.
And they charge for it, I assume?
They do. I believe it's usually like, I think it's like 10, 15 bucks. But for the production quality they have, I would say in terms of regional MMA you can watch, it's usually worth the 10 bucks or 15 bucks
and
or whatever.
Is it English commentary?
Yeah, it is. Yep. They have cool. Different options. But yeah, that for sure you can get it in English.
And Gumby's going to win you at least 10 or 15 bucks off this card. Anyhow, we're doing this card so good. Gumby wants to do 6 fights instead of our normal 5. That's how good it is, right?
That's it.
All right. We're going to start with a prelim fight. The main event of the prelims is 3 5-minute rounds at featherweight. Corey Fry from England versus Max Holzer from Germany. Holzer, Stifler or Stifler is the nickname. Stifler. He's 6-0, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. He's won 2 straight fights via submission. This is his octagon debut. Used to fight at bantamweight. He's an inch taller than Fry. Plus 120. There's a big thing right there. We have odds here. Sometimes, as Gumby was saying off air, people ask us, can you get odds for this? And you, like some promotions we cover, the books were cowards and they didn't put odds up, but there are already odds up here. You can check it out. Best fight odds is usually the place to go to check on who has the odds. And now that we're not sponsored by any books, we can pretty say it looks like the odds are Betway right now, but I think pretty much all of the offshore ones cover.
Yeah,
this, right?
Bet Online gets on it pretty quick too. They're probably already up there by the time you're listening to this.
All right. So that was, it's plus 120 for Holzer. Fry 5-1, 4 knockouts, 1 submission, and he's been submitted once. He owes his rounds. Damn it. That's a shirt we got to get. He's 1-0 in octagon. He's won 3 straight, minus 163. All right. Fill in the color in the picture I outlined for you.
So the reason I like this one, too, is I wanted to talk about the value on Corey Fry. I, in general, just think like he is a guy who, despite being, you know, it's not a small favorite, but a medium-sized favorite here, I think he's got a lot of value because I really do like the work that he does on his feet. You know, like all of his striking and all the combinations he puts together are really sharp. Like he's got a really nice jab. He's got a good straight. I'm a little worried about how much he backs up when somebody comes at him with crazy aggression. Cause in his last fight, that's exactly what happened. Somebody just blitzed at him and like, you know, threw the kitchen sink and stuff. And he backed up and backed up and backed up. But luckily, he finds places to set his feet and like let go of his combinations. I really do like the uppercuts he throws when he like is circling away and then like the person is following him too much and he just like takes an extra step in and throws an uppercut, sometimes to the body, sometimes it lands to the head. It's a really nice combination. And Holzer is a guy who's kind of like a relentless wrestler, which you might worry about against a guy like Fry. But the thing is here is that Two things that make me not particularly worried about Fry and made me like this line is the first one being that I think the way that Fry fights long and circles away to that pressure, even though he backs up at first, I think makes it kind of safe that he's not going to wind up in a bad takedown situation. I think he's going to wind up pivoting out and like punishing him for takedowns, especially with the uppercut. And then secondly, the other thing that I'm not real worried about is Holzer is a guy who's really risky when he's on the mat. Like he'll dive on arm bars that he doesn't really have a good grip on and he'll, you know, do this and he'll do that. And like all of those things do not bode very well for him. So I think Fry, even if he does wind up on the bottom, winds up getting up pretty quick. And I think on the feet, he's heads and shoulders better than Holzer. So I really like Corey Fry in this fight.
Who doesn't like Fries, really, Gumby, when it comes right down to it?
Yeah, they're great.
You can't go wrong with Fries, right?
No. Anybody who leaves fries on their plate, and I've said this before, this is a very strong feeling I have. Anybody who leaves fries on their plate is a sociopath and not worth eating dinner with. Yeah,
it is true. It is true. All right, let's go to the main card, but we're sticking with featherweight. So Shoaib Youssef from England versus Edvard Ketzel. I said his name like that because he's from Germany. Edvard Kaisel, probably Kaisel. I'm guessing.
I think it's Ketchel. Sounds German. Isn't it Ketchel?
Oh, Ketchel sounds even more German. You're so smart, Gabby. All right. Ketchel, K-E-X-E-L, on your betting slips. He's 9-1, two knockouts. He's been knocked out once, 1-0 in octagon. He's won 5 straight fights. He's not lost since March of 2021. Used to fight at lightweight. He's an inch taller than Youssef, plus 110. Youssef, he is the assassin, the one and only. He's 11-3, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 1-0 in octagon. He's won 3 straight fights and 4 of 5. He's not lost since December 2021. Used to fight at lightweight, minus 150.
I'm going to go dog here. I like Ketchel quite a bit here, and here's why. If you watch Youssef fight, the big issue I have with him is when he's striking from range, the dude just doesn't seem to move enough. Like he just, when he's at striking range or looks like he's throwing hands from distance, it's almost like he's trying to tempt the guy to hit him and like looks for a counter, but he's actually not even looking for a counter. He wants the clinch more than anything. He wants the clinch. He's really good in the clinch. I think that's probably why we see him as a favorite here, is like when he throws knees from the clinches or elbows in the clinch, both of them are just like very devastating. Like he is very tough to beat in the clinch, but like getting to the clinch, I almost think he just like has to tempt other people into wanting to clinch him or like sprinting forward at him because he's not moving. And I think a lot of times it gets him jacked up from range. And with Ketchel, first of all, he's going to have a reach advantage, which I think Youssef is going to have a tough time with. It's very slight, but you know, like Youssef is used to having an advantage rather than a disadvantage. So I think Ketchel could probably use that. And in addition to that, I think if it does wind up in the clinch, Ketchel has the takedowns to get him down. I've seen a really nice, diverse group of takedowns from him. It includes like, you know, he's got good double legs. He's got good chain wrestling up against the cage. I've also seen like little judo throws and judo trips out of him. I don't know if he's got a judo background or if it's just stuff that he's mixed into his regular fighting style, but he's one of those guys who seemingly like, you know, he likes to get the opponent's head up against the cage so that it's really hard for them to get back up. And, you know, sometimes it means he's just going to ride out the round there and throw a couple of punches, but I really do think that'll be enough to win a decision here against Youssef. And also that just kind of like nullifies the thing that Youssef likes to do the most, right? Is that like he likes to be in the clinch and throw knees. If he does that here, he's going to wind up on his butt. So yeah, I'm going to go dog money here on Ketchel.
All right. He's going to wind up on his butt. We're not going to wind up on our butts with that pick. We're going to end up winning some plus money there. All right. We're going to the big boys. I've done my due diligence and I've done Google searches. Neither of these guys are chunky guys. Gumby.
No, not really.
No.
One of them has a very famous win, though. Did you know that?
Yeah, I have it. In my notes. I was hoping you didn't know, but you do know. Palaz from Poland versus Stuart Austin from the UK or England or Britain, or I think it's the English flag, actually, he has on his Tapology site. I'm not going to tell you about him first. Austin. He's He-Man. He's 17-8, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 7 times. Look out for that chin of his. 1-0 in octagon. He's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. 1-2 in PFL, 1-1 in Bellator. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Check out the shirt. I mean, correct. Check out that shirt right there I'm wearing right now. People on YouTube see it. You can get it at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Type in playoffs as your discount code, 15% off. Boom. You can be cool like me. Austin used to fight down at light heavyweight. He submitted current UFC champion Tom Aspinall in 2015. There's the big win.
With a heel hook.
There you go. He also lost to Johnny Walker, I saw on his record. Yeah, he's fought some names.
Bruno Capoloza and PFL.
Yep. Yeah, he's been around since 2010. So there you go. And there's not too many heavyweights or light heavyweights to fight. So that's why. If you've been around that long, you're gonna run into some famous names. Plus 130. The bookie's not impressed by that resume. Palaz. Adas Z Jawara is his nickname. ADAS space Z space JAWORA, which translates to Addis from Sycamore. Okay. You want to tell me what that's? You don't have anything about that? Can you have him on your show and find out for us?
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. He's 9-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. Actually, we have some viewers and listeners from Poland. You tell us what this nickname means. Tell us what's up with that. Anyhow, 9-2, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once. 3-1 in octagon. He's won 4 of his last 5, including his last fight. Inch taller than Austin, minus 175.
I'm going to go underdog again on this one with Stuart Austin. I'll be real honest. When I started breaking down this fight, the odds weren't there. And I was leaning towards Palash. And then when they posted, I was like, I'll be honest, I don't really like either of these guys. And I was like, I can't get behind saying my official pick is negative 170 on either of these two. Let's basically just put it that way. I think this fight is close enough that you just grab. It's a dog or pass situation for me. There's things to hate about both of their striking. Stuart Austin looks terrified if he's fighting a good striker. Against Bruno Capoloza, he looked like a deer in the headlights. Like he was like, I do not want to be here. He shot ugly takedowns to try to avoid the striking. There were a whole lot of things where you're like, man, dude, he does not look good. He kind of stands a little bit too tall. Don't like that about him. And then I was like, but like his Palash, even the type of guy who punishes him for that. Cause yeah, he does have finishes, but if you look at most of his finishes, they are after he has tired his opponent out, he gets his own takedowns and gets ground and pounded. He doesn't get takedowns until his opponent's tired. I also don't know that he wants to be on the ground with Stuart Austin because that seems to be where Austin's the best. So I think you nullify that on Palash. And then in addition to that, I will say the thing I don't like about Palash is that, you know, Austin stands too tall. Palash weirdly leans forward. Like constantly he is leaning forward. So like we've got two guys who do wild things when it comes to defense. Like neither of their chins are hidden, just in like very different ways. I think Austin maybe could hit it or could touch Palash a little bit better because Palash is leaning forward and Austin throws a little bit straighter at punches, whereas Palash is throwing overhands. But hey, maybe that hits the big tall guy. At the end of the day, I don't think particularly either of them are very good when it comes to knocking people out on the feet. Austin just looks a little bit better grappling maybe. I don't know that his takedowns will score on Palash because Palash like frames nicely, but maybe if he gets Palash tired enough, he'll score him. But yeah, like kind of like I said at the very beginning of this breakdown, pick dog or don't pick at all on this one. And certainly don't throw any of these in a parlay. That's going to make you mad later that you bet on either of these two guys. But I'll go just for funsies. I will go Stuart Austin on the dog money.
And Gumby's continuing his hating on people who lean. That is
this is a different kind of lean though. And like it's like, this is almost like Keith Jardine levels of leaning forward. You know what I mean by that? Yeah, it's like, it's a lot.
Yep. All right. Before we move on, I'm going to lean into some ad reads. Like Cut, for instance, we're going to start with Cut because they're a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And it's tons of fun. Oh, it has tons of fun. It is tons of fun. Plus, it has tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for $4. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Reminder that Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and legal in 40 states. Head to cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. And of course, our merch store, look cool like me with the mantle shirt and the SGP hat. 15% off everything in the store now until the end of the month. Type in playoffs for your code. And we're competing against the other shows on the network to see who can sell the most. So help us out here. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Speaking of hats, Gumby, that's not one of our hats. What's on your it's that collective again. You're going to tell us the name. You're going to give them free advertising. Go ahead.
Yeah, free advertising for the Clink Room. It's a collaborative of artists, and this is one's entitled Coffee Run. See what they did there? Yeah, it's coffee going for a run. Yeah.
All right. There you go. All right. Moving on to, or going actually back to England, and we're going to a flyweight fight. Aaron Abbey or Abbey from Wales. Christopher Daniel from the United States of America. 3 5-minute rounds, 125 pounds. Daniel, 9-3-1, 2 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. So he's been finishing all of his losses. He owes us some finishes. I mean, he owes us some rounds. Yes, he owes his rounds. This is his octagon debut. I forgot my line there. 5-1 over his last 6, including winning his last fight via submission. 0-1 to Bellator, plus 163. Abbey.
How do you say it? I think it's Abbey.
It should have 2 B's, but anyhow. 15-8-1. 1 knockout, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 0-1 knocked gun. 2-1 over his last 3. 2-3 over his last 5. Lost his last fight via TKO. He's fight at bantamweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. Minus 225.
Yeah, so that last fight that Abbey lost was for the flyweight title inside of Octagon. And in that loss, you know, I saw maybe my biggest concern with him overall, which is that he does have a lot of forward pressure, but he doesn't like to throw first. And I think that's because a lot of what he's doing is moving forward in hopes that the person who is fighting him will throw a bad strike and he can take them down, particularly up against the cage. There's a little bit of counter striking in there too, that he's not particularly bad at, but he is looking for the takedown. And I think ultimately that's his path to victory. And I think it's a really easy path to victory in this fight. No offense to Christopher Daniels, but in the, you know, the last fight I watched of him, he got taken down pretty much with no issues. And that was after watching him throw like 7 or 8 kicks. So like he's just already got a style that just seems to play right into all of Abby's strengths. He's going to back up. He's going to throw kicks. That kick might get caught. And even if it doesn't get caught, I think he gets taken down super easily. As you mentioned, he's got some submission losses on his record. And that's alarming when you're fighting Aaron Abbey. So I'm not going to put too much time and thought into this. I think you got a guy here who shoots a bunch of takedowns and scores them well against a guy who doesn't defend takedowns all that well. And I think Abby's going to put on a showcase by Aaron.
All right, there you go. Let me mark him down officially. Abbey, boom. All right, co-main event time. We're going up a weight class, a few weight classes. We're going up to middleweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Matias Panage, who we have spoken of before, versus Matthew Bonner. Panage is from Czech Republic, I believe. Yes. Versus Bonner from England. I'll tell you about Bonner first. He is the beast. 16-9-1, 5 knockouts, 6 submissions, never been finished in a fight himself. 1-0 in Octagon. He's won 2 straight and 4 or 5. He was the Cage Warriors champion in a previous life. He used to fight at welterweight, plus 450. Panage Money is the nickname. 8-1 with 7 knockouts. He's been submitted 1 time. He owes us rounds. Damn it. 8-0 in Octagon. He's won 2 straight fights, both via TKO. He went 0-1 on Contender Series. He used to fight at light heavyweight, 6 years younger than Bonner. Or Bonner, 2 inches taller than him, minus 800. Gumby, we got a big line here.
Did you just casually drop a boner in there?
Yeah, I said boner by accident. I casually drew. Oh, there's a good title. Go ahead.
That's perfect. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to go against Panage here at these odds. You know, obviously, I'm not super enticed by negative 800, but Panage is, I mean, dude, he is shaped just like no other fighter is shaped right now, right? Like, he is. He looks like a goddamn praying mantis in there. I don't have his reach numbers in front of me right now, but like, it's got to be 10 inches more than his actual height is. He's just built like people aren't built, and his striking's really sharp. It bums me out on a regular basis thinking about his Contender Series fight that he lost to Cedricus Dumas, which I still can't wrap my head around. Again, one of those we talked about low fight IQ on yesterday's episode. The dude was out striking Cedricus Dumas and just stuck his head in a guillotine for fun. And like he should be in that middleweight division, probably tearing people apart right now. But Bonner does have a tendency to wrestle and the ability to do so, and looks pretty good in top control. But, you know, like he's lost to Darren Stewart by not being able to out grapple Darren Stewart. So I don't know what chance I give him of closing the distance on Panage and getting anything done there. I think Panage, especially from distance, which Bonner has historically had issues with, is just going to tear him apart. I think as Bonner gets more and more frustrated with the reach, you're going to see him try to enter that clinch range or enter that, you know, pocket to try to get in on takedowns and stuff. And he is just going to eat brutal strikes. Panage has got good power. He pours it on. He hits you with like 7 or 8 punch combos to put people away. I think you're going to see him get another. I mean, he got a highlight in, I want to say, the last octagon or the octagon before that that we broke down. He seems like their new guy now that he missed out on his chance to be in the UFC. So, yeah, I expect Panage to get another big win here.
All righty. Main event time. This is not for a belt, but so it's 3 5-minute rounds, 135 pounds. That would be bantamweight. Jonas Magard versus Jack Cartwright. Tell you about. So we got Cartwright is from England. Magard is from Denmark. All right. Let me tell you about Cartwright. First, 11-1, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in Octagon. He won his last fight via submission. 0-1 in Contender Series. Was the Cage Warriors champion. 2 years younger than Magard, an inch taller, -110. We got ourselves pretty much a pick 'em fight here. Magard is a shark, 15-6, 2 knockouts, 7 submissions, 1-0. Sorry, he's been knocked out once, submitted 4 times, so he's been finished a lot. He owes his rounds there. 3-1 in Octagon, used to be the champion. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight. He's fight at featherweight and lightweight. Was regional champion, 2014 pro MMA debut. 5 inches of reach on Cartwright, -120.
I'm going to go with Magard here. One of the things I really like about him in watching back some of his fights is his ability to close distance when he's striking, but also not stay in distance. He's a guy who, when he goes through his combinations, they sort of leap in at the beginning of them. He lets go with 2 or 3 punches. He bounds right back outside of those so that he doesn't stay in striking distance. It makes him real dangerous. I also think those combinations in general are really good. He likes to throw... you know, he throws like a good hook to end those. So it almost like punctuates it with something nice and hard. You know, like Jonas Magard, I really like his striking. The kind of the MO on him for me and why he's not been entirely trustable in some of his past fights, in addition to being really good at closing the distance like that, he's got great takedowns. And you might say, well, damn, he's the whole package then. But the big problem for me is that he doesn't have the best takedown defense. He's one of those guys who's like a good offensive wrestler, and defensively, I think there's a little bit to be desired. And obviously that worries you against a lot of different fighters, particularly at bantamweight, where you see guys who are fast and very well-rounded. And, you know, like there's a billion good bantamweights on the planet. So like from a guard, you know, you're like, if he's up against somebody who can wrestle a little bit, that's worrisome. And with Cartwright has been using his wrestling in the past, but the reason I don't really trust it here is that most of the takedowns I've seen from Cartwright tend to be body lock, trips, holding you up against the cage before he gets them, that kind of thing. And I just don't know that he will be able to close that kind of distance on Magard, because as I said before, Magard gets in and out of range really well. The other thing I will say too is that Cartwright, when he was on Contender Series, another guy who sort of underwhelmed on Contender Series, he looked really bad at defending takedowns there too. It was against Jose Johnson, who we've now seen. Maybe that loss hasn't aged all that poorly because Jose Johnson's wrestling has looked a little bit better. But I tend to think Magard is a little bit even more well-rounded than Jose Johnson in the way that he both closes distance, and I think his offensive wrestling is just like maybe even a little bit stronger. So I think the fact that we saw those issues with Cartwright already rear their ugly heads, and Magard has the ability to exploit those same exact things, I think he will. And I also just think that the skill set of Magard at least nullifies the like concerns that Cartwright would usually bring, which is like takedowns. Cause in this case, I don't think the body locks or even closing the distance is going to be an option.
Cartwright. All right. Cartwright is not the pick though. Let's recap Gummy's winning picks for us. He's got Magard. He's got Panage. He's got Abby. He's got Austin. Keichel. Is that how you said it?
Right. Keichel.
Keichel and Fry. Correct.
That's right.
All right, boom. That's it. Octagon, get in the Discord with us and we can chat on Saturday at noon when it is on. No UFC this week, so we're going to chat about something, right? That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord or hit us up on Twitter. Not as much fun on Twitter, but we're SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that for us. And he's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. Make sure, at the very least, you subscribe to our account on YouTube, MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube, so we can get our subscriber numbers up. And if you want to watch us too, that would be swell as well. And that rhymes. I got a Substack. You can get in, check it out, moneymma.substack.com. At the very least, get a free subscription and enter my weekly pick'em contest for the UFC. Get more Gumby in your life. That's what we all need. He has got another podcast called the Top Turtle MMA Podcast, where he interviews interesting MMA people. Do you know who's on it this week, or is it a surprise?
No, it's not necessarily a surprise. We're going to be talking to Blake Builder, who's got a fight coming up, and we're going to be talking to Bruna Brazil, who is having a Portuguese language interview that is translated by her good friend and teammate Kai Bohio.
Excellent. Did you tell Blake Builder his nickname should be The?
I did not. I also, despite what the people in the Discord told me, I did not tell him that his fight IQ in his last fight was really bad. I just skipped that.
Did you interview them because they're both BB? Is that the only reason you had them both on at the same time?
I did not. I did not even think of that until you just said so. There you go. Yes. No. And then because there are no fights, we'll also be counting down 5 Canadians that we think the UFC should sign so they can fire the rest of theirs.
Oh, fantastic. That's good to hear. Maybe he mentions me there. Who's to say? So listen to Top Turtle and get in the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Read all of Gumby and my content there as well as everyone else's content, of course. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Get our stuff, and until the end of January, playoffs is your 15% off promo code, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/patreon. All right, we'll be back with more regional MMA Wednesday and Thursday coming up after Gumby bids you farewell.
All right, I'm Data Gumby Vreeland. He's Jeff of Sycamore Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.